Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
It was funny yesterday, Seth. You know, the draft is over now, and it feels like when the draft is over, like, the offseason is kind of over as far as like the big stuff. You know, we got the schedule release coming up, but for like moving forward, like the next biggest stuff actually involves guys wearing shorts and uniforms and things like that, getting on the grass, you know. And I had, and a tweet flies across my timeline yesterday during the afternoon, and it made me say, like, oh yeah, that's right. There's still like 25 or 30 really interesting names sitting out there in free agency. I totally forgot about these guys.
Oh yeah. Those guys, a lot of whom, no, it's, I'm consciously aware of it. It's kind of like your taxes or, I don't know, back in the day, I remember being a kid and like pushing off knowledge that I had to have a tetanus shot, like at the age of 13, whatever it is. It's kind of like a positive tetanus shot.
Right.
Like, I know that it's out there and it's going to have to, but yes, but now, I forgot there's a lot of veterans that might have wanted specifically to wait after they go through the first few weeks of free agency and they realize the big money isn't out there.
Yep.
They realize, okay, the best place for me might be a team that had a need for my position but didn't get it in the draft.
That's right.
And I'm going to go there where I know that I'm going to make the team, I'm going to be a starter, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Or I might get a better offer.
Yeah. And some of the names that we were kicking around before the draft that would have made a lot of sense because, for example, at cornerback, you know, the Texans cornerback depth chart was Derek Stingley Jr., a couple lotto scratch-offs in Okuda and C.J. Henderson, and then I don't even know if they had any corners after that on the I'm sure they did, like, you know, futures contract guys and things like that. But you and I had kicked around names like Xavien Howard, Stephon Gilmore,
right.
Bringing back Steven Nelson, perhaps.
Yeah.
If you were, and of course we know they ended up using their first pick, the 42nd pick overall, on Kamari Lassiter now. So do you think that, we'll start there, because that's where the Texans chose to go first in the draft, was at corner. If you were the Texans, or if you were those players, like, it's, I'll almost position it like a who says no kind of thing. Like, are they,
oh, good call. Right.
You know,
yeah.
Like, is it Xavien Howard, who openly wanted to come here. He was campaigning to become a Houston Texan. If you were those guys, Howard, Gilmore, Nelson, do you look at the Texans now and go, eh, I don't know? Or if you're the Texans, do you look at those guys and say, no, we're good, we don't even need to talk to you?
I think in the case of defensive backs, I think it's mutual. I think that both the Texans, because the Texans, they've got two very physically talented cornerbacks in Henderson and Okuda competing with a high second round pick.
Yeah.
You know, or at least top, you know, first third of the second round pick. So I think that that's one where, man, you might go there on a one-year deal and still end up being relegated to backup status or the veteran that's there to provide leadership.
Yep.
So, and likewise for the Texans, I think you want to see what you have with Lassiter. If Lassiter falls apart or something or gets injured, then maybe you take a look at some of those guys.
Yep. Are you applying that to the entire secondary or just corner? Because Justin Simmons is a name that a lot of Texan fans wanted the team to at least take a look at.
Safety, it really comes down to how they feel about Jalen Petrie. And then I think right now I would wait and see. My gut tells me, especially if you look back at the fact that Bullock is like a deep center field type of safety as of yet. And, you know, he's very lanky. He's not built to be a box safety whatsoever. I think they probably like the idea that, man, you know, when we're not playing too deep or quarters or whatever, like when we're playing cover three, when we have to have a box safety, we want a guy up there, you feel good about both Jalen Petrie and Jimmy Ward.
Mm-hmm.
And I think between hopefully Jalen Petrie, maybe with Bullock in the back end if he starts, Jalen Petrie can do more of what he's naturally comfortable doing, which is playing up closer to the line of the scrimmage. And then Jimmy Ward, who's very, very versatile, can do either of those. So they probably feel good about that right now, not to mention the other guys they have at safety.
Yeah, there's a lot of safeties out there, man. Justin Simmons, Jamal Adams, Quandre Diggs, who's from here. I'm going down the list here. Micah Hyde is still out there. Micah Hyde's played a lot of good football. These are older guys, though. I mean, there's reasons they're not on their teams anymore.
You know what I would say, Sean? Let's mm-hmm. let's put it this way. For safety especially, yeah. I think it's probably the safety that says no. I think it's one of – like Justin Simmons especially, I think, would probably say no. I think the Texans because Jimmy Ward's been banged up and injured and he's getting older. He's got 1 year left on his deal. Because Jalen Petrie is a little bit of a question mark, more than you would have expected going into last season, that I wouldn't be surprised. I would be less surprised if they sign a safety than if they sign a cornerback. I think safety would be the spot that they might still want to add to.
That makes sense. We're getting texts from people saying, are there any defensive tackles available? I think we're still light, could get some rotation beef with some older players. Yeah, right now, their defensive tackle depth chart is Foley Fatakasi and Tim Settle. If they were trotting out, I know starting in the NFL, like especially in a team that runs a rotation on the defensive line, is kind of a misnomer. But I would say like Fatakasi and Tim Settle are probably viewed as their two frontline guys, with Kurt Heinisch and Khalil Davis behind that. That is they drafted Marcus Harris, but that's a seventh round pick. I would say they still definitely could use an upgrade on the defensive interior, right?
There's not necessarily that guy out there. So yeah. they could use that. I think they're going to go into this season just, you know, hoping that somebody emerges or that at the very least your defensive tackles play better because the linebackers play better. It's just you go into the season and you don't have all pros at every position. That's just the way it goes. And they've got journeyman types that at least can be adequate space fillers.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to pass rush, Denico Autry can play down there. They've got multiple guys who can play down at defensive tackle in nickel and dime. So it's not that I don't want an upgrade. It's just that it might not be in the cards this year.
The biggest name out there, and he's not a classic defensive tackle or anything, but like Calais Campbell is the biggest name out there along the defensive line. If Calais Campbell could be had on a cheapo deal, would you bring Calais Campbell in?
I don't, you know, I didn't watch him at all last year.
Yeah.
And is he 40 yet?
He's close. close. Yeah. he is close.
Other than the Falcons game where I think did he make a couple good plays in the Falcons game?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't recall, but I know about him. Like, he's supposedly amazing locker room guy.
Oh, you
know?
Yeah. When it comes to, boy.
He'd fit right in there.
I just want to see how many snaps he played last year. But even if he didn't play that many snaps, then that part of it, like being I wouldn't say crusty old vet. He feels like a D'Amico Ryans type.
Yeah.
Except he's also got that Lawrence Fishburne quality where from the time he was 24 years old, you thought he was 45 years old.
Right.
So he feels like an extra dad to perhaps a lot of those younger guys. I think that would be great to have him in the locker room. Yeah. I'll make about that'll be my project for this afternoon. I'm going to see exactly how much tread on the tires Calais Campbell still has.
Okay, I like it. Text message, Seth, do you have any opinion on the undrafted free agent defensive tackle we signed who shares your last name? Are you related to Feldarius Payne, Seth?
Yeah, we're close relations. No, they're on my list for today as well, Sean. I was going through the sixth and seventh rounders yesterday, so I was watching Double J's there as to me.
Oh, we'll get to him. We'll get to him later this segment. I should have mentioned that you did. The running back position is something that has everybody on edge a little bit right now. You know, like what do they have outside of Joe Mixon? What is this Jordan? We'll get to that in a few minutes because you watched a lot of him yesterday, huh?
Yeah.
Yep. We'll get to him.
I would have watched Feldarius, so I apologize.
That's okay.
I was watching Solomon Bird. I'm actually intrigued by Solomon Bird. I've not gotten down to Feldarius.
No
yet.
Worries. No worries. No worries. I think wide receiver is probably off the board now as far as something the Texans are looking at bringing free agents in. If you're just tuning in, you're just getting in your car, Seth and I are sifting through the bargain DVD bin in Walmart right now of free agents and seeing if there's any names still there that make sense for this team. Tyler Boyd was one that I was kind of in favor of early on in the free agency process, long before they traded for Stephon Diggs. So I would guess with them bringing Noah Brown back, and bringing in Stephon Diggs, I don't know. Like, do you feel like Tyler Boyd, Michael Thomas? I don't know. Like, there's DJ Chark.
No, there's like, where's the place for those guys?
Yeah,
where's the place for the veteran?
Yeah.
If you bring in a rookie, if you bring in if you draft a wide receiver, then you can bring them along slowly. You've got that luxury, and if somebody gets injured, then they can work in. So I would say if the Texans did try that, I think every single one of those guys should say no. Like Tyler Boyd is visiting the Titans today, I believe.
Oh, okay.
He just visited somebody else yesterday. So you know, talk about that. Like that's exactly the case where some of these guys are just kind of waiting until after the draft.
Yeah.
And now they can, and now especially the guys that wait until after the draft, are they can take visits. You know, there's not that hurried rush. The huge bag isn't out there, so they can take a visit and see how they feel. And I would imagine any of those guys aren't necessarily going to feel exactly like like DJ Chark, for instance. This isn't the place where he's going to come to really finally capitalize on his promise.
Yep.
It wouldn't make sense.
Yep. Yep.
Steven Nelson, amongst defensive backs, Steven Nelson is the one that intrigues me just because when Steven Nelson left in free agency or went to test free agency, I don't know if the Texans made him an offer or not, but I got the sense that maybe after having five interceptions last year, he felt like, boy, he could be in line for one last respectable contract.
Yeah.
And maybe that if I were the Texans, I probably wouldn't have even offered him anything just because he's already shown that he can get disgruntled very quickly if he feels like he's underpaid.
Yeah.
I would say like, all right, go out and see what's out there. I would say it very politely. Go out and see what's out there, buddy. And, you know, if it doesn't meet your liking or if you figure out what the offers are, and then we can talk. And, you know, there's no hard feelings or anything, and maybe you can come back into the fold.
I would love to know what Steven Nelson's activity looked like when free agency hit. Like, just how much was the phone ringing for him? You know, and I say that not because I think he wasn't getting calls. Like, I'm legitimately curious. It's a fascinating case to me. He's in his early 30s. He agitated for money last year. Like, the behavior has been one where you're like, okay, is whatever we offer going to be good enough for this guy? And yet the play was good enough where you go, he can start at corner for a lot of teams in the NFL. You know?
Right, right. And yet, if you're a team that's thinking about signing him, and if he wants more than a one-year deal, I'm looking at him saying, like, all right, you agitated for a new contract after 1 year on your contract by publicly making fun of the general manager. Like, what? You're the guy we want to bring in as a mid-veteran cornerback? Like, that? He really, man, you got to lay off the social media sometimes, man. Like, you know who gets away with that stuff? Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
News alert, Steven Nelson. You're not Stephon
Diggs.
He's
all pro, yeah.
Right? Exactly, like, you're just not. And people aren't going to bring you in and want to give you the money that you want to get when you're publicly mocking the general manager to agitate for more money on a contract that you like mildly overperformed on a bad defense, mind you, in 2022. Now I'm retroactively angry.
It's Steven Nelson. Yeah.
Yeah.
People still want secondary help. Text message. Can they please give me Justin Simmons? Text message. Jimmy Ward is old and injury prone. Get Simmons.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what
happens. He is old and injury prone. That might, you know what, that could end up being that's kind of a tough decision for D'Amico, who brought Jimmy Ward in, you know, as a guy that knows the system, thought he'd be a really good locker room guy, all of that. But might have to cut ties with him early if they could come to a deal with Justin Simmons, who's been relatively healthy and you know, more productive than Jimmy Ward over the last couple of years, certainly. That would make sense. Maybe I need to be more cutthroat here. I'm kind of penciling Jimmy Ward in, but he's been injured a lot and is far on the wrong side of 30 at this point.
They were old guy injuries too. You know, he's limping out of the game with a hamstring. He misses the rest of the season with a quad. That's the tough part. That'd be something I'm curious about too with Jimmy Ward. That's something I would ask Jimmy Ward if this were training camp and you and I were getting players fed to us. That doesn't happen because the midday show is usually getting the players because that's when practice is. But if we were to get Jimmy Ward, I would ask him if he changed his routine during the offseason at all this year.
Yeah.
You know, based on how last season went for him.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Here was Nick Caserio yesterday. He was on with us yesterday. Good interview. We got a lot of good feedback on that interview, and I was listening the rest of the day and people texting and tweeting me. Nick was good. He was very, very conversational yesterday. It was good. Here was Nick Caserio on how the Texans value the running back position.
Yeah, no, they're valuable. I mean, there was a number of good football players that we had identified in this draft. We feel good about that position. We feel like we have two good backs on a roster with Mixon and DP, and the opportunity to add Jordan to the roster as well was something that, you know, we found intriguing. He has a little bit different dynamic relative to his skill set. When you watch Louisville play this past year, they had two backs. So Jordan was actually the starter, and then he played early in the year, and then he got hurt. I think he had a little bit of a knee issue that he sort of was dealing with, and then Garendo played a little bit more. Jordan ended up being their leading rusher. I think he ran for, I don't know, 1,100 yards or whatever it was. We're happy that we were able to draft Jordan and get him on a team. There were some other players that we liked as well. So it's no different, Sean, than any other position. There's valuable players across positions and at different points of the draft. You just have to make a decision and whether or not you can get him on the team or not. So in our opinion, that position, there's no such thing as it's devalued. I mean, good football players are good football players. So try to get him on the team, however you can do it.
Okay. So Juwan Jordan, sixth round pick. He's going to have an opportunity here. You know, Joe Mixon's going to be the guy, but not to the extent where he's going to get fed the ball 25 times a game. Joe Mixon is your frontline running back. But Juwan Jordan's coming into a situation where the stated backup running back was getting zero snaps at the end of last year in a backfield where Devin Singletary was the starter.
Yeah, I think the one thing that Nick had said in the post-draft press conference, too, was that I think he brings a different element, like a home run hitting deep speed or long speed that perhaps you don't have with Joe Mixon. I mean, it's one of the complaints people the Bengals had about Joe Mixon was that you just can't quite sometimes break those tackles to break the long run. He'll fall forward afterwards, but he doesn't have that contact balance. And then, like, the deep, deep breakaway speed.
Yeah, you go find any YouTube highlight video cut up of Joe Mixon. Like, go find it. They're out there, like 8 minutes long. Yeah. There's a lot of 35 and 40-yard runs where he gets tracked down, you know, like really super productive. But you're right, nothing where it's Joe Mixon is off to the races, to the house, Joe Mixon, you know.
Honestly, I was watching Jawar Jordan yesterday, and the comparison that kept coming to mind, honestly, is just like if you shrunk down to like 70% size Derrick Henry. If you took Derrick Henry,
and it's a record scratch moment right there.
And you clicked on him and you said, no, give me 65% Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
He's like a tiny Derrick Henry because he doesn't have like the short area explosiveness necessarily that you might expect out of a guy who's a who's a tiny running back. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's 5'9", supposedly 195 pounds, but I think he probably drank a bunch of Gatorade at the combine to get up to 195.
Yeah.
He's small, but when he has a clear path, he makes his cut and he goes and he builds up to incredible speed, a lot like Derrick Henry does. And once he gets up to speed, or as he's getting up to speed, he trucks people. Like, now they're college kids. And he's not going to truck NFL players the way he could truck a lot of college kids, but he's way, way stronger than you'd expect for his size. So there's definitely something there. I think obviously in special teams, there's some value there and they like that he likes playing special teams. But also as a receiver out of the backfield too, I think he brings a certain top end speed that you don't have out of Joe Mixon or Dameon Pierce.
Would he be a guy, you know, Dameon Pierce at the end of last season was returning kicks and was doing a good job. He did a good job. But we talked to Dameon about it in the post game when he was on with Clint and I, the game where he returned a kick for a touchdown, the very first game where he was back there returning kickoffs. And he said the reason he liked it was because it was like a jumbo running play where he just go to find a hole and just run north-south. We know the new kickoff rules. You've pointed this out, Seth. The new kickoff rules, when you go watch them executed in the, what was it, the XFL or the USFL, wherever they were using them, I think the XFL, one of those alternative leagues, was using pretty much these new kickoff rules where everything's happening in much tighter quarters. Yeah. And the returns look a little bit more like a zone scheme running play. Mm-hmm. How does Jordan fit? Do you think Jordan would be a better fit to return kicks maybe for this team with his running style than Dameon Pierce?
I think he might be. It's just, it's hard to say. Like, I don't want to count Dameon Pierce out on it either, because I don't know. Like, in a lot of ways, the way that Dameon Pierce's kickoff return looked, I think it's kind of easy to envision that play wasn't too far off from a lot of the stuff they're going to have to do with these new kickoff returns. I watched that again yesterday. Yeah, I think that at the very least, you've got special teams ability with both your backup running backs right now. It was encouraging to me that Nick told the story yesterday about when they brought Randy Moss in and they realized, like, oh, yeah, we have to add some routes to the – we have to add some new routes to this offense because he can do stuff that we just didn't have before. And he made the point that you don't try to bring a player in and make him conform to your system. Now, obviously, Randy Moss is a different scenario, and you're going to make
Jordan,
a lot of
right.
Yeah, right. Well, but also with Dameon Pierce, the thing that was encouraging to me was that I think that last year, if you think about what happened with Dameon Pierce, I think they were trying to shoehorn him into running Bobby Slowick's offense, which would include a whole lot of outside zone, and it took them the better part of 5 or 6 games to realize, okay, he's just not good at this now.
Yeah.
But a lot of the old school power football stuff, if we can get him to follow some blocking and a fullback and just have more of a well-defined play, he's still good at that. Even I went back and watched the Falcons game because that was kind of like the line of demarcation where that was the last game where he got a boatload of carries and ended up running for like 60 yards.
And Singletary got no touches in that game.
Right, zero
literally
touches.
No,
yeah. And some of the, but he had some good runs in that Falcons game, but he also had some plays where it was really obvious that, man, when it comes to doing some of the things you want out of an outside zone running back, he just, he's real clunky when it comes to cutting back against the grain and everything else like that. So I think you have to look at the timing of everything last year where they misjudged what Dameon Pierce was going to be able to do for them. The offensive line was not executing well in the first part of the season either. That didn't make it easy to learn that system. But then also, I really think I think Dameon Pierce is at his best when there's a fullback in the game. Mm-hmm. And Andrew Beck was still learning how to be a fullback. You know, like, yeah. It's not like he had Lorenzo Neal back there with him.
Yep.
It was a very clunky and disjointed operation all around. I think with the benefit of a full offseason, they're going to realize, okay, what should we be doing with Dameon Pierce? How much has Dameon Pierce figured out how to run outside zone, all of that? And I'd be surprised at this point. I would give it a 65% chance that Dameon Pierce is still on the roster. I'd be surprised if they cut bait on him. Because there's this is what I did. Sean, I just went back and watched the 2022 highlights. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching this. I'm like, what on earth? Like, how did you lose this?
Yeah.
How did that bad, atrocious, awful, decrepit offense of 2022
Pep Hamilton, yeah,
get the most out of Dameon Pierce?
Right. Wow.
And yet last year when so many other things were working. Now the other part of it too is that Dameon Pierce needs to get back to his 2022 playing weight.
In a good way, right?
Like, yeah. He lost weight going into last season, which was intentional, and he wanted to be more of a threat in the receiving game. But even on his good plays last year, he did not break tackles with the same ferocity that he had the year before. So I think whatever his playing weight was his rookie year, that needs to be his ideal playing weight.
Here was Nick Caserio yesterday. Seth asked him about Dameon Pierce and where the team's at with him right now.
The big thing right now is being in good condition, which he is, having a good attitude and having a right mindset and a good work ethic. And DP is all of those things. So I would say just watching him move on the field, I mean, he looks pretty good. Looks like he's in good condition. Yeah, I think everybody's looking forward to the opportunity in front of them, which is that's all you can really focus on. You can't really worry about what's happened in the past. You can only control where you are here today. So I mean, he's got as good of an attitude as anybody on the team, regardless of what's happened in the past. And he's admitted to y'all what happened last year, but it's a credit to him that he has enough, I would say, self-awareness and honesty to make that assessment. We're glad DP's here and looking forward to what he could do to help our team here this season. You know, hopefully he's going to be a big part of what we're doing. So he's had a great attitude and, you know, he's working his ass off so far, which is great to see.
So, I think that I think that they're going to give him every chance to get back to where he was in 2022. You know, Sean, to return to the defensive tackles real quickly.
Yeah.
The one thing I'd say about them, as far as just like the two guys that they added as rookies, Marcus Harris and Feldarius Payne. So Marcus Harris is 6'2", 285.
Mm-hmm.
Feldarius Payne, 6'2", 285. Both those guys are undersized, but they're guys you look at is that they're capable of penetrating into the backfield. I think both of them, like one of the reasons you see him go later than you did, like with Marcus, I've watched a good chunk of Marcus Harris. I haven't watched a good chunk at all of Feldarius Payne yet. But I know that Marcus Harris, there's times where he looks like a small football player. He gets knocked to the ground a little too much. He gets sometimes washed out on double teams. So like that shows up. So Aaron Donald was 6 foot 280, but he was like a nose. He could have played nose tackle. Like he never got his size when he was at Pitt. Never looked like it was an issue at all.
He was
all,
the 13th pick in the draft.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
So these smaller guys, they go later for a reason.
Right.
You know. But like Feldarius Payne too. I know that's a knock on him on the scouting report. I haven't watched as much of him as I have Marcus Harris. But same thing. You know, like sometimes loses his feet. There's sometimes he looks like a small guy. But if you look at the entire defensive tackle position right now for the Texans. Mm. They've got eight guys, you know, competing for probably four spots, potentially three because DeNico Autry is kind of a flex guy.
Yeah.
I think they're expecting really, really healthy competition there, but that in the end, it's going to come down to platooning a couple of space eaters and then a couple of guys like Marcus Harris or somebody else that's more of a, you know, maybe like Khalil Davis could still very much be in play as a rotational player. But they've got some of these smaller guys that they added to the roster in the hopes that they can be penetrators. And it's going to be by committee unless some advantageous trade comes along. They're going to keep their eyes open for other defensive tackles.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, There's not an obvious path to it right now. There's nobody out there right now that you say, oh, yeah, go get that guy. That'll fix all our problems.
Yeah, text message along those lines, 8900. Love what DeMeco and Nick have done with his team. Should I be concerned about the interior offensive and defensive lines?
You should be concerned about them, yes, but also understand that, like, the Chiefs last year were very concerned about their offensive tackles. The Chiefs last year were concerned about the depth of their wide or the quality of their wide receivers. You know, the Chiefs last year were concerned about Travis Kelce in the regular season. There's lots of concerns on every team. So of the things to be concerned about, yes, those are valid concerns. But you shouldn't be in panic mode if they don't address it by the start of the season. At left guard, I think it's very much – left guard and center, I think it's very much an open competition between all those guys. And I don't know if Nick – I bet Nick feels good about Patterson. I bet he feels – hopeful about Scruggs at center. I don't think he's naturally a guard. I think he's just a center. And then the big wild card is just, what is Kenyon Green?
We asked about Kenyon Green yesterday with Nick Caserio. Here's what he had to say.
In some respects, it's similar to Mechie. So KG's dealt with a number of things over the past couple years. Nobody's going to make excuses. He's certainly not, but he's had a good attitude. He's worked really hard. He's in good condition. He's been here. He's been here every day working. He's made progress. So it's all about opportunity. So whatever has happened in years past is sort of irrelevant. So that's all you can do is focus on the now, focus on the present, and then focus on one day at a time, working on your craft and working on your technique. So he'll have an opportunity in front of him like most players, and what the player does with that opportunity is ultimately going to come down to their performance relative to the competition around them.
I'm super intrigued by Kenyon Green and what he looks like come camp or mini camp or whatever, just like what this red shirt year has done for him physically, and see how that plays out.
You know, the thing, going back to maybe the last time he was even relatively healthy, and this was even after he'd been injured a couple times already his rookie year, was that Chicago game in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing some really good things in that game. That was a game where I went out, like, after that game, I thought, okay, they might have something with Kenyon Green.
Yeah.
They had
week three, I think, of that season. It was early in the season.
That's how long ago it was.
Yeah.
That was also the same game where the Texans had they had eight people in blocking on a play in which the Bears had a four-man rush and three guys came clean.
Yeah.
That was just such an abomination of an offensive game plan.
Oh, God.
There were so many times that year where the offensive line just looked so lost. It was awful.
Yeah, it was bad. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. Getting a lot of Astro texts following up on the Strohs. Strohs lose last night, 3-2, extra innings with the Cleveland Guardians. 10-20 on the season now. Thank you, everybody who points out math. Multiple texts. You guys know the Astros are on track to be 54-108 this season. Yes. No, I know. When it's 10-20, when it's, you know, one third, two thirds, it's very easy to do the math. I've done the math. Thank you. It's very depressing.
You shouldn't get offended by that. That's a really good.
I'm a little triggered.
Like, they're not insulting your intelligence, Sean, in pointing that out, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, did they say you do know?
No, they didn't. I'm just being a jerk. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Text message.
No, you know what? We should probably say that more. I'd say to take that as constructive advice. That's how bad it's been.
Yeah.
That they're on pace to win 54 games.
They're on pace.
Should just, you know what? Until they get back to 500, let's just read nothing but their on pace record.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, okay, they lost last night. To this morning, they're on pace to win 54 games.
They should hang it. They should put like an electronic billboard of it in their clubhouse, reminding guys as they're taking the field, like, you guys, this is what you're on pace for right now, 54-108. And then they should put a picture up of the entire Oakland A's roster from last year that won like 50 games. Like, that's who you're the equivalent of right now.
Maybe we should move to Las Vegas. Maybe that should be
you and me or the Astros.
Oh, the Astros. Maybe that's what they can't hit. They can't hit at Minute Maid Park. Typically,
yeah, that's
there's
true.
That.
That's true. Text message: JV is going to make great trade bait. I said this a week ago.
Yeah,
and I said, you know, look, Justin Verlander walked into the, you know, I don't know if this is exactly how it went down, but he told the Mets last year. I don't know if they approached him or he approached them, but both him and Scherzer. You know, what are we going to do here? And Justin Verlander basically said, I want to be somewhere where I can win. And the Mets were, last year, at least record-wise, about where the Astros are right now, you know? And so he's got He's got this year. If he gets to 140 innings, then you notice he Espada let him go to the seventh inning last night after he took him out in the fourth last time. He let him go this time. But he's got a vesting option for next year, but I'm guessing he wants to pitch for a relevant team. I don't know. I don't think it's out of play. I don't think it's out of play that the JV could go like, look, man, I don't know if I want to be on a team that's going to win 76 games or whatever.
Even if he doesn't, I mean, that would be okay. Of the players who could command something respectable right now, what's the power ranking of appetite amongst the fan base to trade them if they're still on pace for 54 wins by the time of the trade deadline?
I would say, the appetite of the fan base, not who will fetch the most.
Appetite of the fan base.
Okay,
yes.
I would say
realistically, like don't put
No, I would say
Framber.
Bregman. I don't think Framber's out of the realm of possibility without a long term deal. If you want to know the truth,
yeah.
But to answer your question. Bregman won. People are very frustrated with Bregman right now. And
right,
I think his the way you know his whole
he's
desire
a notoriously slow starter.
He is.
They say it on the broadcast all the time now.
He is.
Randy. They say it all the time.
Faux Seth. He is, yes. Yeah. I think Bregman would be one. Appetite to move them at the trade deadline. Bregman won. I would say
Josh Hader.
Verlander. Well, maybe. Josh Hader won. Like, there's no ties to him. Let's say the ones that have been here for a while, right? The ones where there's an emotional attachment to. Bregman won. Verlander two. Tucker three.
Ooh.
But Tucker, nothing against Tucker. He's the one that's going to get you the most.
He's
an elite player with a year and a half still left on his deal.
And if they're handicapping, okay, what are our chances of signing him and everything else that we want to do?
Yeah.
Because if you're looking at, okay, so does it come down to, could it come down to a decision between, if you have to make that decision, like, all right, who do we want to sign long-term, Kyle Tucker or Framber Valdez? And we'll trade away the one that we don't want long-term.
Yeah, I think the one I want to keep long-term is Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, Tucker projects out to be just like he could be a really good player for 10 more years without injuries and without some of the
Tucker
volatility.
Tucker could be a Hall of Famer. Like Tucker could put together 12 elite all-star level years. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Ironically, that power ranking I just did, Bregman first in terms of appetite for the fan base to unload them. Bregman first, Verlander second, Tucker third is the inverse of who would fetch the most. You know, Tucker would easily get you the most. Verlander would get you the next most because he's a starting pitcher. Bregman would get you the least of those three because he's a position player who's not playing well and has, you know, 3 months left on his deal once you get
him. Verlander's at the point where I don't even think fans are, like, unrealistic about their trade expectations. If anything, they're more pessimistic than they would be.
Yeah.
I think a lot of Astros fans who typically would be like, let's trade our worst player for three starting All-Stars.
Right.
I feel like a lot of them are like, would anybody even take Bregman right now?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Put him out on an iceberg and let him freeze.
Yep. A text message, at least Loperfido has been seeing more than three pitches in his at-bats when he strikes out. He doesn't seem lost.
I
couldn't figure out if that was faint praise or somebody being sarcastic. I'll say this, just the sentiment in the text.
Yeah.
I feel kind of the same way. You know, like he's striking out a lot, but he is working some counts and things like that. Like
right.
There are some things there. Like, look, eventually he needs to stop striking out.
He doesn't look lost.
Right.
He looks like he'll swing at anything inside, but he doesn't look lost at all. He just needs to learn where he is.
Yeah, he's nine at-bats into his major league career. Like, I say throw him out there for another few games and start him in left field and see where this thing goes.
You know what? I won't overly worry about the strikeouts, no matter, you know, depending on how long his stint is. As long as he's also having success defensively, and he's had a couple nice timely hits, you know, so there is positive to balance it out. So I'm not overly worried about that. Like, you know, like when Bregman came up and didn't get a hit for his first few weeks in the majors, he was still playing well defensively. You know, there was something you could hang your hat on in terms of building up a younger player.
He was having good at bats too. You know, like as long as they don't look like they're, you know, snowed over in the batter's box, right? Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. All right. What is Deion Sanders doing? Like, what What is Coach Prime doing? Why are you punching down, man? We'll explain if you haven't seen it. We'll talk to you about that coming up next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Right, so there was a story in The Athletic on Monday, and it was about all the guys who left Colorado back in the spring of 2023 when Deion Sanders first got there. And remember, Deion Seth had that meeting with the team where he basically warned them, like, yeah, the reinforcements are coming in, and you know they're Louis Vuitton. They, you know, they're not these are good players. Remember, he said they replacements
are coming
and they're Louis.
Insulted everybody there. Yeah.
And a bunch of them ended up leaving. Most of them ended up leaving. I think you can count on two hands. Literally, like, how many ended up staying? Deion went to the transfer portal and went to work. And he, at the very least, created a lot of buzz with the Colorado program with the start that they had last year, beating TCU, beating Nebraska, beating Colorado State. And then they won one out of their next nine games. I bet if you asked a lot of the average fans out there that didn't follow the entire season closely, they were just following Coach Prime when they were box office the first half of the year. And you ask them, what do you think their final record was in Colorado? They'd go, I don't know, like 7-5 maybe? I don't know. No, they're 4-8. They didn't win. They won one game after that 3-0 start. So it was not a great season.
He was as good as they were in 2021.
Yeah.
That was, he didn't improve on anything that they'd done.
Well, he improved on the year before. They were 1-11 the season before.
Oh, I know that, but I'm just pointing out that, like, it wasn't it. Yes, he improved by three games, but if you went back 2 years, it wasn't like people in Colorado thought, like, oh, we're on the rise now.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep. The ensuing offseason has seen a bunch of guys leave of their own volition. Now, maybe some of them are being told to leave, like Deion did with those other guys. But anyways, this article in The Athletic, published on Monday, had the where are they now, if you will, of all the guys who left. And there's a lot of success stories there of guys who left. There was one player named Xavier Smith, who was a safety, and he told The Athletic in the story that Deion Sanders, quote, never even tried to get to know me. Quote, he was destroying guys' confidence and belief in themselves. It was like an extreme version of what happens when new coaches come in and the old players are there and they're trying to get their own guys. It's been happening for decades. Not to the extreme at Colorado, and B, not playing out on social media like it has with Colorado.
Right. Yeah. So, and usually, you know, like, so coaches, almost all coaches, even the most like Lane Kiffin-ish of the coaches, you just, all right, that's the cost of doing business. When guys talk smack about you, you just leave it be, you know?
Yeah.
It's a kid spouting off. It's very easy for, I think most people look at it like sour grapes or something.
Sure.
Yeah.
The Sanders don't back off. And I mean plural. Shadur, Deion's son, who plays quarterback there, and then Deion himself, Coach Prime. After that story, Shadur Sanders posted on Twitter, bro had to be very mid at best.
Yeah.
Talking about Xavier Smith. Smith has gone on to Austin Peay, which is an FCS school, and he had a really good season there. After Shadur Sanders' tweet, things escalated into a back and forth of trash talk. Colorado receiver Caleb Mathis posted a video of himself getting the better of Smith in a practice last spring. So now you got a current Colorado receiver posting video of him burning this kid who spoke for that Athletic article.
Yeah.
That now in swoops one of Smith's Austin Peay teammates named Jaheim Ward, pointing out that Mathis had 38 receiving yards last season. That tweet led to Ward's stats at the FCS school being posted, 36 tackles over 3 years. And now in comes Deion all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Picking on this Ward kid who plays at Austin Peay and had 36 tackles, saying, Lord Jesus, above a screenshot. So this whole thing degenerated and escalated into Deion Sanders basically kind of Twitter picking on a defensive back on Austin Peay that never played for Colorado.
Right. Yeah. And one of these classic things where this is a lot like when Tom Herman was at University of Houston, except that Tom Herman was having success at the University of Houston. But he's creating a cult, you know, and I would imagine that University of Colorado fans think this is the awesomest thing that's ever happened, that Deion and Shadur are not backing down from people they'd never heard of or remember. The one thing I would say that I like, genuinely and honestly, I kind of do a side eye at, is that where does Shadur Sanders get off saying, as a defense to him not knowing or reaching out to this player, saying bro had to be very mid at best? Like, there's mid guys on your football team right now. There's mediocre guys on every football team that's ever existed relative to, you know, the rest of the league. Except for maybe the University of Miami in 2002.
Yeah. A handful of the Alabama teams of late. Yeah. Right.
But the point being, like, all right, dude, wait, that's your go-to? It's like, well, I didn't know you because you were mid. Like, all right, then how do you feel about the guys who are mid on your roster right now?
Yeah, that's a great point.
Like, that's not frankly, a very un-CJ Stroud-like thing to do.
Who is it? Yeah, very un-CJ Stroud-like.
Yeah.
Who is this? Because Shadur and Deion were both in this thing, this whole Twitter back and forth. Who is it a worse look for? Deion Sanders, who should be the adult in the room, or Shadur Sanders, who could, like, stuff like this is stuff that NFL teams, especially at quarterback, are going to take a look at and go, all right, if it comes down to Shadur and this guy, I'd rather have the guy who's not insulting people on social media.
It feels very Baker Mayfield-ish.
Yes.
You know, it feels very like, okay, what are you, like, the chip on the shoulder stuff seems awesome when you're in college, or if you're, you know, Johnny Manziel. It feels very Johnny Manziel-like that, all right, what are the things you're actually concerned about? And in trying to stay focused and not worry too much about outside factors and everything, I think people will have that question. But he is still a college kid. And I think, yeah, like Deion's gotten to be a bit much. And I was on Team Deion. I was going along for the ride. I'm on record as figuring that they'd finish at like 500 or maybe a little bit better, but that they get absolutely rolled by the better teams.
Yeah.
But even when I was on record as saying that, I was kind of excited about the experience because it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
No doubt.
I was hoping that they would outperform expectations, but now that just so many things turn into a public battle that don't need to be public battles, and that, like, frankly, the Sanders family seems way more onion-skinned than I thought they would be, it's starting to annoy me.
Onion-skinned.
It's a bit much.
Onion-skinned.
Yeah.
Yeah, onion skin, jackbooted today. This has been a good day, man.
Like, you're Deion Sanders, man. Yeah, like, yeah. Like, why are you so sensitive?
Yeah.
You're Deion freaking Sanders.
This is really where the rubber's meeting the road with Deion Sanders is in year two, because everybody was hailing him as some sort of roster construction genius by taking advantage of the transfer portal. It was the one off season where he can tell everybody that's in the building to just go to hell and bring in his own guys. Now he's got a bunch of those guys who he brought in that are saying, no, we're out of here too. Like, you can't do this every year. It's football. Like, you can probably do it in sports where the rosters are smaller and, you know, basketball, you roll the ball out. And if you're just more talented than everybody else, you can win. There needs to be a foundation with a football team where you can't just be shuffling the entire roster out year after year.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they did. Deion's defense would be that, look, most of the guys they've lost have been guys that weren't going to play anyway. So I don't know. I'd have to, like, look at the grand sum total of how everybody performs this year that came in on the transfer portal versus those that exited.
Yeah.
Because I think he looks at it as still this. You know, so like on the football side of things, I think this is still part of his strategy. Like, he was going to come in, and it's kind of like when you take over a new company or you merge companies, and you basically are hoping that a lot of people quit. I think that was part of his strategy
for sure.
I think you can, even though it's ultimately relatively a classless move to begin with, but you can still do it with an amount of class.
Yeah,
you know, like, I'm going to say it's classless, but it's classless in the standard of a lot of college football coaches are classless about this. It's standard operating protocol.
Yeah, yeah. Here's the thing with your business analogy, Seth, and I agree with you in year one with Deion. He inherited this company, and he's weeding people out. In year two, these are the guys you hired. You know what I mean? These are the guys you hired in year two, and now you're weeding guys out that you brought in. And this is where I would be curious is – yeah, you can probably field a competitive football team doing it this way if you got good coaches and you get enough talented guys in. I would love to know just how much manpower is being exerted rebuilding the roster every year. You know what I mean? Like, how much recruiting energy is required to either re-recruit your own guys or go find that many new guys, and how much is it distracting you from what your core business is, to use your analogy, which is winning football games?
They lost they've lost 61% of their transfer portal class from last year.
Yeah, that's not normal. I don't care if they're good or bad players. Like, that's a lot of energy to exert in just putting a team out there.
Well, Sherman's like, yeah, like, why'd you bother bringing those guys in if they're that expendable,
yeah,
I suppose.
And, and I'll be honest, like, just to put a bow on this whole thing, like, I really don't care if Deion's sniping on social media. I don't care if Shadur is. Like, I don't think it's the right thing to do for either of them for different reasons. I just don't think it's going to work. I did, like, everybody hailing Deion as this new thinker last year, and this is the way. Boy, he's really taking advantage of this new turf in college football, the transfer portal. It's not going to work. Colorado's not going to be a good football team ever under Deion Sanders.
Now I'm back in his corner. I wish he would just shut up a little bit, and then I could be on his corner because he's doing things in a new and innovative way. The best story, by the way, was that tight end. I forget his name, Medair. He came in January and he's gone already. He was like, that was a very promising transfer, but he's gone already. He lasted 3 months.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I actually like Deion's approach as a coach, like how blunt he is with guys and whatnot. Like, I like the style.
Sounds like you weren't a fan of the Miracle on Ice either, Sean. You know what they did? You know what he did? He kept rolling players in and out, kept changing the roster up.
Did he?
Yeah. Oof. That was the whole thing. That's why it's such it's so bogus the way the story is told sometimes.
Thanks for putting it out.
Inspirational story of this group of plucky youngsters. Like, he was like bringing them in and kicking them out like on every 12 hours.
Thanks for putting it out there that I was rooting for the Russians, Seth. Appreciate
it.
Yeah,
you were. You commie bastard.
Yep.
That's why you're excited that CJ's over in China with Micah Parsons.
Yeah, finally camp. China can get good at football like I've been pining for all these years. Yeah.
Trying to bring football to China and communism back to America.
There you go.
That's what you want, Sean?
Make America communist again. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Payne and Pendergast. 888, the Ocho. We got 8 stories for you. Get your day going. We will do that coming up next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.